Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. It's always nice to get to visit with Father Keller. He was the chaplain on a cruise that we did, and we had an absolute ball with him. He's a lot of fun. And this hour, we're going to talk about, we're looking for how to word this. How will we get at this? And sometimes people are, they call up and they ask questions like this. Well, I don't know. My psychiatrist said I should take this antipsychotic or antidepressant or whatever the medicine is. And I don't know if I should do that, or does that show a lack of faith and that kind of thing? Or we get people who clearly have psychiatric issues who spiritualize them. Or we have people who don't believe in spiritual problems. They think everything is a psychological problem. Everything is a matter of learning or therapy. And since spiritual problems are of a different sort, things like repentance and confession and communion don't seem to them to address the core of the issues. So we decided Dr. Greg Bitaro would be a really good guy to ask about the intersection of these things. What is psychological? What is psychiatric? And what is spiritual? And can we make clear, is it possible to make those fine distinctions, or is it not possible? Dr. Greg Bitaro is a Catholic psychologist. He's the director of the Catholic Psych Institute and the Catholic Psych Academy. And what they're trying to do there is trying to help people to treat the whole person, so to speak, to not give up on the techniques, the medical and therapeutic techniques of the modern world, but to treat the whole person. And that includes the fact that, you know, we have a spirit, that we have a spiritual side, that also needs to be considered in the treatment of people's difficulty. He developed the Catholic Mindfulness online course, and we had him on. We talked about that one time, Catholic Mindfulness, and he was a Franciscan friar at one time, but found himself called to family life. He lives in New York now, where once he was working on the streets with people who experienced physical poverty. He's now working in New York doing healing where people have wounds, hurts, and poverties of another sort, of a more psychological, psychiatric, or spiritual sort. Dr. Greg Bitaro, thank you very much for being here with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back. It's great to see you again.
So is this an impossible question to answer? I mean, are these three separate boxes, the psychiatric, the psychological, and the spiritual, or that you could say, well, that one goes in that box, that one goes in that box, that one goes in that box, is it more subtle and complicated than to be able to do that?
Yeah, no, it's a totally fair question, and it's subtle. It's complicated. It's a yes and no. It's a both and.
Okay.
And so, you know, we want to be able to see the whole person. The human person is a composite, a combination of material and spiritual being. And so we have we kind of overlap two planes of reality. You know, there's a spiritual sort of plane of reality, and then there's a material plane of reality, and the human person overlaps both planes. And so, you know, there's some of us, and it's all the language falls short. So even when we say some or part of, it still kind of falls short, because our material selves, everything that's bodily about us, is totally and fully integrated with the spiritual dimension of who we are. And the spiritual dimension, the spiritual quote-unquote part of us, is integrated with the material. And, you know, ever since Descartes, and he separated out mind or the spiritual part of us from the body, he kind of messed us up, because we have this idea that the body and spirit could be separated out. And now we have – it's like we're spirits trapped in a body. And so you know, it's important to talk about things that are spiritual primarily, or bodily, physical, or maybe the overlap between the two, which is the psychological. That's how I like to think about it. There are those three different lenses we can look through. But at the same time, we have to be really careful that we don't fall into that same Cartesian dualism error, mm-hmm. and think we're talking about actually different things here.
I want to clarify something you said. We're not spirits trapped in a body. Many Christians, I think, don't know that that's a heresy, that that's not what the church teaches.
Exactly.
They actually think that they are spirits trapped in a body. But
yes,
I love the word hylomorph because it's super, I don't know, it just sounds super fancy. But this idea, it also helps me just grab onto something with my mind. What am I? I am a composite of body and soul. I cannot be separated and still be the human being that I am. I am a composite of body and soul. It's not freedom for my soul to leave my body. It's a disaster for my soul to leave my body.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I think this is helpful to touch base with a couple of realities that are, you know, people will obviously think, well, the body dies, the body goes into the grave, the body decomposes. And isn't it true then that the spirit leaves the body and is the part that's going on to maybe purgatory, you know, judgment, heaven, or, you know, maybe worse, hopefully not. But, you know, we think about it in these two separated things. So I think it's important to say, okay, yes, there's a majority of the body that we know and understand as the body that is separated from our spiritual life. But so are fingernail clippings and hair cutting. You know, it's like when you cut your hair and you clip your fingernails, part of your body is also separated out from who you are and it goes to disintegrate someplace. So somehow, and this is a mystery, and Catholic theologians and philosophers in the world of metaphysics will say that this is a mystery. We don't have this fully answered and fleshed out. But we have to say that there's a philosophical principle that some part of the material world is still very much connected to and a part of our spiritual personhood.
Yes, right.
Even at death. And this is a sort of cosmic mystery. It's also death itself is a cosmic tragedy, and it's an anomaly. It was not supposed to happen. It was not God's plan. But, you know, it's interesting. I was just talking. I was at a conference talking to a postulator for a cause, and she's a medical doctor but also dabbles in physics, metaphysics. And we were talking about how Einstein's theory of E equals mc squared may help make some sense of the sort of transition of material matter in even within our world, that the matter is equal to light and a kind of energy that is in some sense immaterial, but it's still in this world.
Right.
And it kind of maybe creates that branch or that overlap or somehow.
Or at least an image
of
this.
Mystery.
Yeah. Right. So if I'm not just a soul trapped in a body, then my body and soul go together. The health of one is relevant to the other. The health of the soul is relevant to the health of the body. The health of the body is relevant to the health of the soul.
Yeah, exactly. So if we don't go to the liminal sort of example of death to try to make sense of this whole thing, and we actually just stick with what we know,
yeah,
which is when we are alive,
yeah,
and it's like,
so far,
okay, that's what we're talking about and working on here, then yes, then we can at the very least accept the fact that everything we do in and through our bodies is affecting ourselves as persons, our spiritual life, our spiritual reality, and we cannot separate the two.
888-318-7884 is the number. So if this is of practical concern to you, maybe you have questions about therapy or about medical treatment related to mental health, related to the spiritual health, whether it's whether a particular treatment is moral or immoral, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Bataro, our guest, 888-318-7884. Let's make it practical then. What's the practical difference between what you do in this holistic Catholic way that you have of treating people who are anxious or depressed or show other symptoms with the way the world treats them? What's the practical difference?
Oh boy, there's so many. Okay, so first of all, in the medical sciences, they basically only focus on the material that's observable, and they come up with, you know, the medical interventions that are testable, observable. And so a lot of times there's a bias towards medication. And in terms of what we actually do in the health field, it's like, well, we're really just looking to reduce symptoms. We're not going to try to do more than that. We're not going to talk about the good life or what is happiness or what is human flourishing or what is our purpose. None of that matters to a scientist. What matters is, what am I looking at? Do I have achievable results? Do I have a null hypothesis that I can, you know, disprove or whatever the case might be? But at the end of the day, there's no understanding of the fact that there's more to us than just what's materially observable. And so, you know, a lot of times people say, like, should I take medication for this issue? It's like, well, maybe, but it's not an either or. It's usually not, you know, only a physical or only a psychological or only a spiritual consideration. And we want to be able to have facility discussing all three to figure out what might be the, least invasive treatment possible. You know, that is a medical principle of ethics that we take very seriously. And in order to really understand what is, quote unquote, least invasive, you have to really understand the full gamut of what makes a person a person. And the least invasive might be get the person off their cell phone. The least invasive might be, get out of your room. You know, go for a walk in the morning. But if you don't understand what that has to do with our anxiety system, our depression system, our brain system, and what relationships have to do with our neurological functioning. You know, these are all things that are not immediately available to scientific data because maybe that particular study hasn't been completed yet. But we can enter into the conversation understanding some principles about the human person that we can take for granted as given, and then we can work from there. And we have a far better chance at finding the path of least resistance and the most efficient, effective way to really help people.
888-318-7884. Three of our six lines open if you have questions for Dr. Greg Bitaro. From Catholic Psych, the Catholic Psych Institute, the Catholic Psych Academy, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Ever wonder how we should pray? I'd like to offer just one. Don't make prayer your work, make work your prayer. In other words, one's faithfulness to their daily duties of state and life and vocation, while at home and at their place of employment, can be offered as a pleasing sacrifice to God when done lovingly, faithfully, and well. It all boils down to the virtue of diligence, doesn't it? Do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, in the way it's supposed to be done.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Bitaro is our guest. And we're talking about the spirit, the psyche, the mind, and finding health by a kind of integrated care for the person who might be suffering. So do you work with psychiatrists? Say, for example, someone might have, I don't know, say schizophrenia or major depression or something, and they need medical treatment. But I would, sure. I'm guessing from what you've said, you would probably universally say they don't only need medical treatment.
Well, for sure, nobody only needs medical treatment, and that wouldn't be what we start with. So, again, we'd want to look at sort of what are all the possible options. Now, if somebody's been wrestling with something for a long time, or they've already tried a lot of other things, of course, we definitely utilize the sciences and the medical sciences when it comes to medication. We work with psychiatry. There's a lot of good medication. I think there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think because it's an easy option for people, and it does sometimes do a really good job of reducing symptoms, particular symptoms anyway, it becomes a fallback. And I think that the field is pretty lazy. But sometimes it's the best option for somebody, and the best option might be a better option than not taking it. And that's actually going to be life changing and life saving. So, it could be something as simple as ADHD. It's not just schizophrenia or the severe mental illness, but sometimes even the sort of less severe experiences are tremendous burdens that people are bearing and suffering internally. And we want to try to alleviate suffering any way we can to the extent that is within God's will here. For sure, we'll work with psychiatry. And on both ends of the spectrum, it's like I also work with exorcists. I'm working on with a cause also for canonization. So both ends of the spiritual spectrum, both negative and the positive, we want to look at where is the overlap between the natural and the supernatural. And honestly, it's never either or. It's always a both and. So we're always trying to figure out where to land within that full spectrum.
Do you have, I also, something you said made me think you have a sense, but correct me if I misunderstood what your thinking is on this, that one of the problems with the secular therapist might be that the secular therapist might be very well trained in the techniques, but doesn't know what a happy person is. Doesn't have
yeah.
the, is it was, did I get you right on that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in the secular world, there's no, what we call telos, which is like the purpose. It's the end, the final cause, to get Aristotelian. And it's like, what are we here for? And how, what do you think, like, what do you call a flourishing thing? Basic philosophy, if you, what's the purpose of a chair? It's to sit on. If the chair has three legs and it's, they're breaking underneath and they fall, like, the chair is not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not fulfilling its purpose. So what is the purpose of a human person? And then we get into how our emotional life is built into our own self-awareness of fulfilling our purpose. And we are flourishing, and we can be happy when we are in line with the objective truths about what makes us who we are and what we're made for. This is so far, everything I just said would be like Greek to a secular therapist. Like, they have no concept. I mean, it's literally Greek, but
some of that was actual literal Greek, right? Tell
we
us.
We could get into the Greek, but they, like, they would look at you like you have three heads if you try to walk into like an APA conference or a secular world of mental health and try to talk like that. And this is what's really striking. Even the psychological theories that are really accepted and really powerful theories, even for Catholics. So, for example, attachment theory. This is something that a lot of parents might know a lot about, attachment. John Bowlby, and this is a psychology that's become more mainstream. But if you read John Bowlby, and if you really dig into the actual attachment theory, which, by the way, is very good, it's incomplete because Bowlby himself said, I never cared about final causes or telos. I'm not here to figure out what the child who's secure, insecure, is actually made for. They just set up this research, and they created ways to observe how they judge if a small child is insecure or secure. And then they created their own sort of language, and then they were able to test what kind of parenting creates security, what kind of parenting creates insecurity, and then that was it. That's where the story ends for attachment theory. So it's like, okay, is that helpful? Yes. Can we incorporate that into our understanding of the family, the school of love, you know, the vocation to being a parent and marriage, all these things? We can weave that in beautifully, but it's not enough on its own. And that's the tricky part, is how to get enough but not believe that it has the full answer.
Right, right. We got just two lines open now. So you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, sure thing.
Dr. Greg Bitaro, our guest. Off to the phones we go. Margaret is in Lincoln, Illinois. Margaret, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Bitaro. Margaret?
Hi, doctor. Oh. Hi there.
Hi.
I have a little stage fright, so I'm going to be quick, and I hope I can say it right. And I hope I heard you right. But first of all, I'd like to say that the information on attachment theory is some important stuff. I mean, all you have to do is look at criminal behavior and go back to what these individuals' childhoods were like. And, of course, not all are going to be affected by such sorry, you know, experiences. But just I wanted to say about that. But moving on, so you said that the body, I hope I heard you right, the body and soul cannot be a separated entity. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so on that, can you please touch on inherited genes? I've known some lovely people in my life who inherit schizophrenia, and, you know, we've all heard how schizophrenia and schizophrenics have been labeled possessed, when, of course, nothing can be further from the truth. They're seriously mentally ill, many of whom have inherited such a gene from a parent. So where's the focus on inheritance, genetics and genes when, you know, dealing with the soul and the body not being separated theory? Thank you.
Yeah, great question. And first of all, I appreciate your vulnerability in coming on. And I share a little bit of your stage fright. So great job showing up there.
I had no idea that I was this intimidating to people. Oh, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's the audience that's intimidating. But... All right.
Well, thanks for being here. And we'll get through this together. Si will let us hopefully just eke out, even with our imperfections here. And we, you know, I think, yes, attachment theory, to make a comment on your first point, is really solid. And it's really important to look at that. And we have a lot to learn from the sciences. Like I said, there's a lot of really good things there to learn from, and good direction for parenting. But without embedding it within the bigger picture, we might lose it. I know some attachment people that think you have to space out kids every, you know, 4 years, because if you have more children in quicker succession than that, then you're not able to give secure attachment, a secure base for one of your children. So that's a kind of an example of taking some of the observable science, but then drawing it out to conclusions that are not consistent with the bigger picture. Now, to your main question, this is, you know, the age old nature versus nurture debate, and it's very clear that it's not a versus, it's not an either or, it's a both and so we have a very deep, not yet fully understood genetic component to what sets us up in our humanity. And then we have parts of our personality, parts of our physical expression of our genetics, part of our personhood that comes out through the body that is expressed when affected by the relational environment we're born into. And so it's like the nurturing, you know, we might have things that are latent in our genetics that nurturing can unlock or suppress. And we might have things that were not latent in our genetics, within reason, that formation and parenting can bring out, and the environment, the nurturing environment, can bring out. And so this is, again, very mysterious. And the integration and the combination of both nature and nurture is something we're just beginning to understand. Things like schizophrenia, like diseases, but also trauma, you know, passing on trauma from past generations. There's really good evidence that shows evidence of the mark of trauma, the effects of trauma that a person has not experienced in their own lifetime. And then you come to find out that is something that happened to grandma, you know, or some, you know, Holocaust survivors that are passing on certain things. Is it some of it in the stories that are told? Yes. Is it some of it that might actually be in the genetic transformations that happen in one generation to the next and are passed on? Also, yes. So that's the best way I can answer it. It's not a clear answer, but it leads us deeper into the mystery.
Is it satisfying to you at all, Margaret?
That was helpful, and you know, we could go on and on. I just wanted to bring it. You explained it very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Thanks very much. Dr. Greg Bataro is our guest. Just a couple lines open, but if you'd like to talk about our topic today, which comes down to the treatment of our psychological wounds, our hurts, our mental difficulties in a fully human way. If you have questions about that, from the psychiatric, psychological, or spiritual perspective, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Right now, there are three lines open, and you can have them. 888-318-7884.
Deepen your connection to the church's holy days and seasons while you draw on the wisdom of the church fathers. Feasts of Our Fathers, the new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, is a treasury of history, prayers, insights, and lessons that will bring you closer to the earliest of Catholic traditions. Take your prayer life and your solidarity with the church, past and present, to a new level. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers today at shop.catholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to CASociety315.com and join today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's almost a truism. It's almost sometimes said as a joke. As a matter of fact, I've heard it actually said as a joke, this Catholic thing that we have, this Catholic habit of mind that we have where we say both. People say, is it this or is it this? And we go, both. And it's sometimes called the Catholic both and, both this and that. And so I think what you find with Dr. Greg Bataro is that very Catholic bent of the mind, which says, It's not science or faith when it comes to healing. It's both, and it's both science and faith. And if you have questions about healing, mental health questions, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I'll tell you what, I did at the beginning of the show say that you talk about your association with Catholic Psych, the Catholic Psych Institute, the Catholic Psych Academy, but I didn't talk too much about what they are. So I'm going to go back to the phones, but I wonder if you could just take a minute to say what you do there.
Yeah, sure thing. And actually, it's funny that you're talking about both and, because I have a podcast called the Being Human Podcast, which talks a lot more about what we do, but I almost called it the Both And Podcast because you're picking up on this really fast. And when it especially when it comes to the person, because it's like I can't talk about this without looking at these different sides, and it's almost never either or. So anyway, yeah, that's really good. A good paradigm, I think, a hermeneutic to kind of look at everything through. And yeah, so Catholic Psych Institute, we started as just a private practice, turned into a group practice, and now we're helping people all over the world. I developed a new model of accompaniment that we call mentorship. We work with people in any state, in any country, and we use technology. So we have an app that we actually talk to people on a daily basis instead of this compartmentalized 45 minutes once a week or every other week. We actually get in there with people and really talk through whatever you're experiencing on a daily basis. And that helps us move the needle a lot more efficiently, I find. In our work, we've done both, but in comparing both, most of our team has kind of leaned towards this new methodology. And I find it to be much more in line with a kind of Christian human approach to accompaniment. And so that's what we've been doing. The academy part that you talked about is we're training other people actually how to do this as well. So we have a certification program, and it's sort of professional accompaniment certification. So all of that you can learn more about at CatholicPsych.com. And we do offer free consultations. If any of the stuff that we're talking about here triggers anything or brings things up for people, obviously a little disclaimer on the radio. This is all very generalized information. But we have a line for free consultations, and we will have a personal conversation to see how we or somebody else might be able to actually help you.
888-318-7884 is the number here. Do check out CatholicPsych.com. Let's see, where am I going now? Am I going to Marie in Rhode Island. I beg your pardon. Marie in Rhode Island watching on Facebook. Oh, I know Marie. I've known Marie for years. Hello, Marie.
We know each other, yes.
Yes, welcome.
Yes. This is a great topic because I'm very involved with my kids. I have three autistic adult children, and they all needed psych help, you know, with meds and therapy. And, we have two great hospitals here in Rhode Island, Bradley Hospital in East Providence, and another one in an adult one at the other end of Rhode Island. I forgot the name of it. But my question was, how do you feel about electric shock treatment for major depression? Why I ask that is because I have a friend who suffered for many years, and she's still a young woman with severe depression, and she's had a few of those treatments, you know, and I've counseled her myself, and I'm not really qualified, but she reached out to me. I used to be a youth minister, and she was one of my youth back in the day. And that's my question. And how does the church feel about it?
Yeah, good question. That's a great question. I think, Marie, if I remember correctly, I think you called in the last time I was on the show here. So I remember a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you have a good memory.
I remembered you too, Marie. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Yes, you're so not impressed with it. Yeah. Okay.
I really appreciate your question, especially the second part. I think it's really important to note that the church always gives room for the sciences. And dichotomy between like church and science, or you know, what does the church say, or you know, what does medical science say? For the most part, obviously some of the more recent issues that are more ideological, that's kind of gone down different dark roads. But when it comes to treatments, especially for mental health like you're talking about, the church usually says like, well, what do the scientists say, what do the doctors say? Like, if you're under a doctor's care, you know, that's really for the most part where they'll bring it. So I will say, to answer this question especially, that is really important. Again, somebody having individual care is where they're going to get the best direction to answer that question. However, in general, I will say that electric shock therapy or ECT has come a long way in development. And so they're getting really fine-tuned. It's not like the old one flew over a cuckoo's nest imagery that I think a lot of people are associating with when it comes to this kind of therapy. And so, you know, there's a lot more fine-tuning, targeting of very specific parts of the brain and different wavelengths of electricity and ways to make it much less distressing to the person. And so it is a viable option for treatment-resistant depression, especially when some of the basic medications are not working or some of the basic therapies are not working. Then people will often look to that as an alternative option. So there's nothing against the church about it, and certainly can be good science when it's suggested as an avenue for intervention.
You know what, Maria, I was going to come back to you, but I actually have to keep moving because I'm realizing I have every single line full and I don't have that much time left. So God bless you, Maria. It's great to talk with you again. I'm going to go to Norma next in San Antonio, Texas. Norma, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Bataro.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Greg Bataro. My name is Norma. And I was just thinking the other day, I have a son who has schizophrenia. And I consider myself a very spiritual person, and I'm beginning to see the difference between the diagnosis and his spiritual the spiritual side of it. And it just dawned on me. I actually met someone, and I try to help if I can, and he was way beyond what I could do for him, because of his spiritual side, which was just too far out there for me. So I had to stand back. And you talking about the training that y'all have, how do you get to someone that is that far spiritually, I don't want to say lost because I don't think that's fair, but it's a spiritual battle, and you can see it with your eyes and feel it with your heart. How do you reach them? Do they have to want it, or it could actually be worked towards it for them?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think just recognizing that, you know, first of all, I'm sorry for the suffering that you experience in your family, and recognizing that Christ is suffering with you. And every part of our suffering, physical or psychological, is an invitation to unite our suffering to God and to Jesus on the cross. And so the first step, the first thing, especially to a mom with a child with schizophrenia or any other kind of mental illness, is to say, you know, to really try to deepen your own spiritual life in prayer and really unite whatever suffering comes up. It could be, you know, your own hopes and dreams that you had, or you know, it could be just the experience of whatever a child is actually going through and suffering on a day-to-day basis, fears about the future. Those are all the kinds of suffering that God knows about. And going first through Our Lady, through Jesus, and that those are avenues of uniting your experience to them. And then out of that, graces pour out. And when we talk about the spiritual efficacy of uniting our suffering, that's how conversion happens. That's how deepening of an understanding of God happens. With that being said, also, there's just trusting in the mercy of God. Depending on where a person is at, what they're actually aware of, you know, not everybody's held accountable with the same level of culpability about the same things as we think, because of what we might be culpable of. Like, we have no idea what another person's interior life is actually like. And that's why God says, leave it up to me, not you guys, to judge the heart. You know, it's for God alone to judge the heart. Well, let's take that all the way and then give the benefit of the doubt and actually just trust in God's mercy. So what might look like on the surface being spiritually very far, especially when we get schizophrenia involved, that's a whole whirlwind of an interior perspective that up is down and down is up and left is right. And you have no idea, like, when they're in relationship with God face to face with Jesus, you know, and, you know, having to really kind of answer for one's life, I think God's going to know what he went through or anybody else. And so that's going to be a part of that conversation. And, you know, we just pray for the graces that the right choices are made with the freedom that's available when they need to be made.
Michelle, what a fantastic question. Thank you so much. Excuse me, that wasn't Michelle. That was Norma. I apologize, Norma. We'll take a quick break. Michelle's call is coming up right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2005. EWTN embraces new technology to carry out its mission of evangelization by making its live programs and classic broadcasts available for podcast online in MP3 format at no charge.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. We're talking with Dr. Greg Bataro from Catholic Psych. You can find out about him at catholicpsych.com. And you're welcome to call with a question. We'll try to get you on. We've got three to do in the next 18 minutes or so. So there might be time for you. 888-318-7884. Michelle, who is in Georgia, is next. Michelle, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question. We're happy to. Michelle, we're going to have to ask you to get a little closer to the phone, though. It's a little hard to hear you. I apologize for that.
Is this better?
Yes, it's a big difference, okay. Michelle. Thank you.
I'm sorry. No. I was on my speakerphone. But yeah, no, I appreciate hearing my call. I know you have some other people on the line. Dr. Bataro, I really admire your work. I love what you guys do. I did have a question. So is there a spiritual component to OCD? And so it's a two-part question. And how can us as a family help somebody we know to navigate all that? And is it possible for them to heal from OCD? Because it's, from what I've seen, it's a pretty heavy cross. It's exhausting.
Yes, it is exhausting. It's a huge cross. I really appreciate this question. Number one, it's an opportunity to put into practice the principle that we started with. When you say, is there a spiritual component to fill in the blank? The answer is always yes. And so, you know, the challenge sometimes is, all right, let's find the spiritual component to whatever it is that we're talking about. Now, with OCD, there's a specifically spiritual kind of OCD called scrupulosity. So sometimes we talk about people who have OCD regarding religious themes. And this is people who, you know, feel like they need to go to confession, or they didn't pray the rosary correctly, or they have to repeat things. And so OCD, just to reiterate, is obsessive compulsive disorder. So when we talk about obsessive, we're talking about things in the mind. When we're talking about compulsive, we're talking about behaviors, and you put them both together and you get OCD. So you can have ruminations and repetitive thoughts that can be themselves and really burdensome and a lot of suffering involved. And then it could turn into repetitive behaviors to try to alleviate the anxiety and stress and pain of those thoughts. So if you're plagued with nagging that your hands are dirty, you have to wash your hands 1,000 times. Some people are, you know, wash their hands till they bleed because they have it in their mind that they have these germs, or, you know, people that forgot to turn off the oven or forgot to lock the door. Those are the typical examples, but those kinds of things can happen directly in the spiritual life. But even if it's not in the spiritual life, we can see a spiritual component in the fact that we have a drive for perfection. God built us to want to be perfect, to be perfect, you know, and so it's not a terribly bad thing to be thinking about how to become a better version of ourselves. But usually with OCD and or religious scrupulosity, there's an absence of the sort of complementary reality of God's mercy that actually makes it a path that can be a path to flourishing. It can be a healthy thing to want to be perfect when we know it's not up to us, it's up to God. It's the weight of responsibility is not on us, it's on God. So accompanying people who are suffering with OCD is really important. And a lot of times they will push away somebody trying to help them, especially if it's like contradicting their own way of perfectly managing my system. And so with family members, often we try to guide and support them to not be put off so much when their efforts are blocked. But a lot of times it just means maybe taking a different approach, being more compassionate, not trying to solve their problem for them, but just letting them know you're in their corner. You know, finding little things you could do as an act of service. And then lastly, I'll say this is one of the stickiest mental health issues that I would say 100% requires professional accompaniment. This is not something to try to do on your own. Suffering with OCD, suffering with scrupulosity, spiritual direction is not enough. Prayer is not enough. And this is the kind of thing that it is a real mental health disorder, and it requires professional mental health accompaniment. So in any way, shape, or form, you can offer support to guide somebody in that direction. That's really good direction to give.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Michelle, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. On we go, trying to get everybody on here. Frank is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Frank, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, hi, Doc. My question is, today, a lot of different medical problems to start 25 years ago. Before that, no problems at all. It all was gradual. Today, I have severe polyneuropathy, worse in the feet, up to my head. I need a walker to keep my balance. 25 years ago, I could see. Today, I just see maybe light. That's it. And also maldigestion, malabsorption problems. No matter what I eat, I swell up like crazy. It will happen immediately to 3 minutes. Not just my belly, like my neck, my face, my arms, my body, legs, everywhere. And also dry mouth like crazy. I drink water all day long. I saw dry mouth all the time. I mean, the neuropathy, the eye problem, the digestion problems. I tried medical doctors. They told me there's no cure for it. I tried different holistic, natural things. Nothing's working. I'm asking for advice. Hello?
Dr. Buttar, he said, I'm asking for advice.
Oh, sorry. The last part, I thought it cut out there for a second. Well, I mean, you're listing a lot of physical symptoms. I'm a psychologist. I'm not a medical physician. And I would say, you know, I know you're seeking help from medical doctors and from physicians, which is, I mean, I can only share with you in the sufferings that come through that process, trying to find the right help sometimes for certain kinds of things. You know, so I can't really give any advice in terms of the physical symptoms that you're describing. But bearing the burden of physical suffering becomes the mental health issue. And, you know, part of what makes Catholic psychology different is that we know you can't actually alleviate all your suffering. And so our purpose is not to reduce all symptoms. Our purpose is to help people flourish even in the midst of their symptoms, even when there's going to be a cross to bear, and because we know there's always going to be a cross to bear. So, you know, it sounds like having somebody to walk with you to be your Simon of Cyrene to help, you know, you have to follow the example of Christ. Christ himself could not bear his cross alone. And so Simon Cyrene didn't come to take away the cross, to keep Christ off of the cross. But for a time, Jesus needed help to bear the weight of his own cross. And so that's what we see ourselves as in our vocation, is to be like Simon of Cyrene for people who are suffering. For a time, we enter into people's lives when they need it the most and help lift a little of that weight off so that they can continue on their path towards flourishing through the cross, which is what Christ told us is the only way. So like I said, if you wanted to give us a call, you go to catholicpsych.com. We have a free consultation. We can talk it through with you. If maybe you've already tried that avenue, we can give recommendations for other places to try or see if there's something we can do for you there. That's the best advice that I can give you.
And Frank, I'm going to leave it there at that advice because there's still one caller on that I have not gotten to. And wait, I'm looking at the wrong line. Maybe I don't have another call that I have to get to. I'm going through my notes here. We do have calls on, but I'll tell you what, we'll take a risk. I'm going to go to, yeah, we're just going to see. Can you tell me your name and where you are? Try it out.
Hi. I don't know.
You're on the air.
I'm the next caller.
You are the next caller.
Okay, great. Thank you. I called earlier. My name's Sherry, and I'm from Tampa. And I was fascinated. I've absolutely heard everything that ties directly into the situation that I have in my life, mostly my daughter has in her life. And that is the everything from talking about intergenerational trauma to the OCD. And as far as the trauma, does it ever end? I know about trauma in my mother's life and in my life and my sister's lives that sort of came from that trauma, and unfortunately now into our children's lives. Two of our children, two of us have daughters, both of them, they're 36 and probably 45 now. They have very, one is she's pretty much not functional unless someone provides for her completely.
Oh.
So I started out, it all kind of connected in my mind because I started hearing you talk about children more the nature nurture and how do we raise secure children as opposed to insecure children.
So
my daughter.
Oh, I'm only interrupting you because we're very, very near the end. But your question was, does this generational trauma ever end? Is that where you want to go?
Yes. And how bad is that trauma on, say, my daughter's children who her OCD is so bad that they don't go to school. She homeschools. And I just worry about these kids that are from age 2 to 12 now.
Okay, doctor?
Yeah, so I don't want to separate out mental health from human health and spiritual health. So it can become really burdensome to start thinking about the traumas that we've passed on to our kids. Well, we believe in our Christian faith that we're all passing trauma on to our kids. It's called original sin. And as much as we are passing concupiscence on, that's unavoidable. And so I don't want to create a sort of narrative where it's like some people are passing trauma on to their kids and some people aren't. Now, there is obviously different expressions of it. Every generation is going to experience it differently, every person. But the answer is going to come down to the same answer with our faith and conversion. And, you know, you can do the best you can do, and that's what you're responsible for at this point. And your children can do the best they can do, and then their children will do the best they can do. And every generation has an opportunity when they come into their adulthood to say, okay, here's the set of cards I've been dealt, and God can be in my corner, and how am I going to play these cards? And every generation has a new opportunity to do that. Hopefully, maybe passing on a little less of some kinds of things to the next generation, but at the end of the day, it's never going to be perfect. And so that's both the hope that we have, that we all have Christ, we all have salvation opened up to us, and also a little bit of a challenge to say, what can you do to do a little bit better for yourself today and then maybe provide that example for your kids also?
Thank you so much for the call. I'm glad, Sherry, that we got you on there before we had to go. Dr. Greg Bataro has been our guest. Check out Catholic Psych if you're interested in all this, catholicpsych.com. Dr. Greg Bataro, thank you. You've been on with us a couple times recently, and I've enjoyed it both times. Thank you.
Well, that's good, two for two. I guess we're doing pretty well.
Yes, yes. And the third time, I'll be less intimidating. I promise. It will be less frightening to come on the show.
We'll see. I'll have to do maybe less breathing exercises before.
Oh, good. Okay, yes. That's what we want to do. Cut down on those breathing exercises. All right.
Okay, very good.
That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.